We're talking about gift giving today on The Balanced Word.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and it's all to hear today.
We're accustomed to giving gifts to our friends and family, whether it's at Christmas, their birthday, an anniversary, or Valentine's Day. And you might be surprised to discover the Proverbs have a lot to say about gift giving. Today on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Rolfe attracts our attention to some of those Proverbs. The first is in chapter 17, if you want to find your place there now.
Solomon, as you might expect, has quite a bit to say about gift giving. And the whole giving gifts was a very important thing to them and their culture. And for a guy like Solomon, he would get gifts all the time and he would give gifts all the time. It was a regular part of just being royalty. But he has a lot to say about it, and we can learn some things as we are reflecting on how we can give gifts most effectively when we look at what he has to say. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 17. And verse 8, and we'll look at the first verse on gift giving. Proverbs 17:8. Solomon says, "A present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Wherever he turns, he prospers." Now, the word there for he prospers, really, that's not the greatest translation of it. The most basic use of that word, and it's the way that it's translated everywhere, you know, multiple times in Proverbs, is it makes you wise or it makes you smart. So the idea is when you have a gift that you see as precious, it's really smart to give gifts that way. Now, it isn't just about, oh, this is something that I value, because gift giving isn't for you, it's for the other person. So the idea here, Solomon's saying, it's really smart if you find something that's precious to the person you're giving it to and you're able to present it to them. It's smart to give presents that you value, but you should value the things that the recipient values. That's kind of the whole point. It's a gift. It's not like Homer Simpson when he got Marge a bowling ball that was actually engraved Homer on it. That's kind of the way a lot of times people give, is like, well, this is what I like, so this is what you get. Gift giving, when it's done wisely, is considering what would be a special blessing to another person. Gary Chapman, who wrote many books about the five love languages, and many of you have probably read some of his books, and I think his five love languages books have helped a lot of people, including him, because he got very rich off of it. But he says that there are basically five areas in which people appreciate and value a particular gift. And he says everyone has one primary one and one like secondary one. The five areas that Gary Chapman mentions are, he comes out and says, well, some people, the first one that he has is gift receiving. Receiving a physical gift. Now, there are some people who love to receive gifts, specific wrapped presents. I think everyone appreciates them to a degree, but it's interesting. Pastor Ken, who has taught on this quite a bit, through all of his counseling and stuff, he said gift receiving is the love language that people that he has known of actually find the least common. You know, in other words, that for most people, there are love languages that are more important than just receiving a present. But some people, a present really means a lot to them, and that's certainly legitimate and true. The second one is quality time. A lot of people say, just give me some time, like good time where you're focused on just being with us. The third one that he says is words that affirm. I think after reflecting on these, maybe this is the one that probably to me is the most valuable. When someone says something to me that I remember, that no, I know it comes from the heart and it means something. For some people, and I'm one of them, that those affirming words really mean a lot. And other people, acts of service, just fixing something for them or doing something for them, is the language that they understand the most. And the last one is physical touch, that some people just, to put your hand on their shoulder or to touch them or to hold their hand is something that they receive as a gift. Well, what Solomon would say is, if you're going to give gifts in a smart way, if you're going to be wise in your gift giving, find something that is valuable to you because it's valuable to someone else. And get down to the source of, I want to share with you something that you find is precious. The gift is not just about me and what I think is precious. Now, whenever you talk about gifts, awkwardness always comes up when the connection is missed. Gift giving is, when it's ideal, it's like, wow, that's perfect. This is exactly what I wanted. This says love to me. But a lot of times people give you a gift and it's like, oh, thanks. And it's kind of like when Ann and I were first married, I think the first year for my birthday, she got me some silk leopard skin underwear. And I mean, I'm like, I think I know Ann pretty well and she knows me pretty well. So I knew she was joking. I knew it was, you know, a gag gift. And so I let her know, that's hilarious. That's so awesome. Well, she didn't actually intend it as a gag gift. She thought it would be something that would be really special to me. And then I'm like, oh. But then by that time, she's like, I'll take it back. Forget it, you know. I'll never buy you another present again. I'm like, well, thank you. That's the best you can do. But I remember as a kid, my grandmother, who lived to be almost 100, and she's been with the Lord for quite a while, but she made pajamas for everyone, like all of my cousins. My grandma must have made 35 pairs of pajamas every year. And she wasn't the greatest seamstress, and there seemed to be no, I think she would just make pajamas and then look, okay, whose size is that? And a lot of times one sleeve was way longer than the other one, or the buttons were all cockeyed. But it got to be with us kids where it was just like, let's go to grandma's house and get our pajamas. And a lot of us would be like, we would get the present and go, oh, thanks for the pajamas, grandma. And she wasn't really competing. You didn't even open the present yet. But, you know, that's what we don't want from gift giving, is to do something and then people go, oh, great, nice. I remember when Ann and I got married, we were opening our wedding presents and my mom was there and some other people were there and we got this beautiful silver serving tray. And my mom's face just went crestfallen. And I'm, are you okay? She goes, I can't believe it. She had just bought that for some friends of ours for their wedding like a few months before. And now they were re-gifting it to us. And she said, I can't believe it. I spent a lot of money for that I didn't have. And I went from store to store to find just the perfect gift for my friends. And they just gave it to you. And I very quickly said, well, Mom, if you put that much work into it, isn't it kind of nice that we have it and that we appreciate whatever it is with them? They, you know, they're weird. And we're really glad we have it. And then I'm telling Ann, look, we're stuck with that thing till my mom dies, so don't ever throw it away. But those are the kind of things, and you get into the whole re-gifting thing that I remember one time at Calvary with the staff, we drew names and we had like secret Santas. Well, two people drew each other and didn't know it. So one of the gals gave the other one like candy and flowers. And then she got back from her flowers, kept the candy. And finally this girl came to me, she goes, this is really weird. Everything I give to her, she gives part of it back to me. And I had a great time with that though. But, you know, I think when I was a kid, one time we decided to make these Jesus Saves plaques, plaster of Paris plaques for my brother. So we wrapped them up in different size boxes and everything. We thought, my sisters and I thought it would be hilarious, but he didn't think it was so funny. And every present, he would open it thinking, okay, this is going to be something. Nope. Finally, we're like, Steve, they're all Jesus Saves Plex. Because he couldn't believe he had that many presents. But that's how it can kind of backfire when you're not considering somebody else and what they're... But if you're smart, you actually learn from... You know, if you give something that doesn't go well, learn from it and get smarter. When we were talking in our staff meeting today about gifts and what our favorite gifts were, Pastor Jerry talked about when he was 16 years old and he managed somehow to buy himself a 357 Magnum because Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, was out breaking into houses, and Jerry every night would sleep in his bedroom out on the front of the house with his window open, with his hand on his 357 Magnum, like, okay, come on, Richard Ramirez, come into my house. I'm going to blow you away. And that was a special thing for Jerry. But later, he decided to bless his brother. So Jerry took that gun with him to when he went to played baseball at Compton College. And, you know, that 357 went with him. But then he wanted to bless his brother. And so he wrapped that gun up and gave it to his brother as a gift. Well, a little later, Jerry asked him, oh, hey, where's that gun? And he goes, oh, I sold it. And Jerry was just like, that was one of my most precious possessions. And it was worth more to me than it was to you. You just sold it. His brother, though, felt really bad and did a really smart thing. He, going through the police department, he was able to track down who owned the gun now, and went to the guy and offered him a lot more than he had paid for it, bought Jerry's gun back, and gifted it back to Jerry. And it's like, that's what I call a recovery. You know, it didn't go well, but here's how I can really make it up. That's just smart. Giving gifts that are valuable and are appropriate is just, that's why do it otherwise? Why just give somebody something that doesn't mean anything to them? Now, look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 16, the second scripture that we'll look at. He says, a man's gift makes room for him. It opens up space for him, literally, and brings him before great men. Giving gifts, the best gifts, always create space, create an opening. Business people know this. I know my son Will, when he was just starting his civil engineering business, Jerry was mentoring him, and he told him, go give gifts to the developers and people like that, and leave it with a card showing your business, your brochure, and all that. And it ended up opening up a lot of doors for him just by a gift, and you wouldn't think that's the case. Now, there are people today who continue to, you know, give gifts as a business thing, and some of them open doors, some of them don't. I think years ago when people used calendars, getting a calendar that you could hang up and then you saw this real estate business or whatever advertised on it was really smart, because everybody, again, 30 years ago, liked calendars. Today, not so much. And if you gave me a calendar this year, yours is the exception. Your calendar is awesome. But, you know, no real people use calendars really much anymore. So now it's just like, oh, nice, you know, frankly. But the way that started, it's the same thing why real estate people give you tablets of paper. It's handy to have a little scratch pad, and it's a reminder of who's there. It opens a door. It opens up an opportunity. And I think I remember a guy who I knew because he had taken a class that I taught back at Calvary Costa Mesa, gave me a wedding gift when Ann and I got married, and it was a kite. And I thought, a kite? I haven't flown a kite in years. But it was really a smart gift, because then we got out and flew the kite. Later, our kids would fly that kite. And it's just creative enough that it opens up something else. It creates something else. It opens up space for the recipient. Pastor Justin was talking about, well, I ask everybody on staff, what was your favorite gift that you ever got? And he said, easy. That was the truck I got when I was 16 years old for my 16th birthday. And I said, You got a truck? When you were 16? He goes, yeah. He said, I was watching. I knew it was going to be a red truck. They told me that. So I'm watching out the window, and all these nice red trucks are driving by. And finally, this one comes, you know, stumbling up the driveway. And he said, that truck looked like it had been left out on a driving range, and golf balls were hitting it constantly. It was covered with dents. But he said, then they took it to Earl Scheib and painted it bright red. So if you take a dented car and you paint it bright red, you just see the dents that much more. And he said, oh, man, that thing was such a piece of junk. But he said, it's the best gift I ever had. Because he said, even though girls wouldn't ride in it with me, and even though I always had to park it on a hill because the starter didn't work and I had to coast to get it going, many of us have had those cars. But he said, you know, I was able to drive. And he said, not only that, I had to learn to work on cars because that thing was not just my truck, it was my project. It was something that I had to learn to work on. It opens up the space. It ends up giving a lot more than you expect it to. It's a gift that keeps giving, in a way. It opens up that space. Now turn over another chapter to Proverbs 19 and verse 6, and we see a little different aspect here. Proverbs 19:6, many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. That translation of entreat the favor is not a very literal translation. Literally what the Hebrew says is a lot of people stroke the face, literally, of the nobility. And the word nobility doesn't actually mean nobility. It means someone who gives generously. In their culture, people who were of nobility would be the most generous people to give charity out to others, made them feel good, it helped others, it garnered support for them. So the idea is, hey, a lot of people are kissing up to those who are volunteering with generosity. And every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Giving gifts will help you to make friends. Giving gifts helps you make friends because there's an implied reciprocity to the whole thing. You know, it's like when you give, people feel like they need to give something back. They want to, you know, return that. And in fact, in those days, the nobility or anyone who was good, they weren't giving because someone was kissing up to them, stroking their face. They were actually giving because they felt like someone had been generous with them. They had been blessed, so they're wanting to give back. You still see this today, where giving gifts sometimes is just a reflection of, God has been so good to me, now I want to give back. I want to pass that forward. I want to show my gratitude for all that I have, and so I just want to give a little something of it back to someone. It's not buying friends, it's a balance, but there are people, I know people who I've had who are great friends who were always giving me stuff. I had one friend who every time he goes to garage sales a lot, and he would see something that he thought would be special to me, and he'd buy it for me. And a lot of the stuff, frankly, I wouldn't have necessarily purchased for myself, but I still have my, you know, O.J. Simpson trading card because my friend thought that that's something that would mean a lot to me. You know, and I have albums of basketball cards. See, I collected baseball cards when I was a kid, but he thought anything that was a card must be something that I would like, but I haven't got rid of that stuff because it's special because I associate it with the guy who gave it to me, who really, it was a gesture of friendship on his part. I think that a lot of people who volunteer in various ministries and stuff and who do certain things, and we have a lot of them here at our church, a lot of them are people who just feel like, life has been so good to me, God has blessed me so much, I want to give something back. And that's a part of what Solomon's talking about here too, about generous people. Generous people are people who, I feel like God has been generous with me, now I want to be generous with others. For me, it's really a blessing when there are people who say, I have been blessed, now how can I bless others? And again, that's sort of what he's talking about here. Reciprocity, friendship. It's this relationship thing where there's a give and take that goes on. God's been good to me. I want to be good to others. And I, you know, there, it's interesting that at our church, sometimes when after a banquet or together or something like that, and I look around at the people who are helping clean up, vacuuming the floor and taking down the tables and stacking the chairs and rearranging them. And I look around and some of them are people who are incredibly successful, where it would be easier for them to just hire somebody to do this work, but they want to serve. And the same thing with, you know, the guys who are ushers and the people who are teaching children's ministry. It's like they want to bless God's people because God has blessed them. And there's something really powerful when someone has really nothing to gain by serving, but they just want to serve out of gratitude. And that's where real friendships form ultimately, when people just begin to share out of the abundance of their heart, out of how God has blessed them.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We have enough time to look at one more proverb about gift giving. Here again is Pastor Dave.
Now turn over to chapter 21 and verse 14. The last scripture that we will look at in Proverbs on gift giving. Proverbs 21 verse 14. A gift in secret pacifies anger, and a bribe behind the back, strong wrath. The idea here is sometimes and by the way, that word bribe is a word that just means donation. There's nothing implicit in it that you're doing something illegally or to pay someone off. And behind the back isn't really what it says in the Hebrew. What it says is from the bosom. So it's like from the most secret part of you, from something we might say from the heart. And the idea is, again, if somebody's upset with you, this happens, it's legitimate, because we don't always understand each other, and sometimes we just do things to injure each other, and it isn't our intention at all. But a lot of times, just the right gift helps somebody know that, okay, we're okay. This person still cares about me. This person still loves me. And at the right time, that kind of a gift just means so much when it comes from the heart. You know, there are people, you can always watch the news, and whenever some rich, famous person ends up getting caught cheating on their spouse or whatever, the spouse ends up with big diamond rings and a new Ferrari and all that kind of stuff just to like calm them down. And believe me, if you've been mean to your spouse and you give them a Ferrari, it does soften them up a little bit. But even more than that, as you think about it, when there is a hostility that's building up, to just stop and go, I just want, just because this person's mad at me, I want them to know that I'm not upset with them. And to give a gift in that kind of a situation, a simple gift, just a gift of an email or a card or thinking of you or something that breaks that log jam of you're mad at me and I'm mad at you and just to be able to say, look, and very subtly be able to bless someone will so often just calm down a relationship that might be at odds.
We'll finish up our study in the Proverbs tomorrow on The Balanced Word with Dave Rolf. We'll see you then. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play with.